Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by a Casper mattress.
Just a single special one.
Just the one. And the rest. All of them. Whatever I'm supposed to say, it's that.
Very good. You've nailed it once again.
Thank you.
Red hot comic book movie news. Shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, my co-host, Nick Mason.
No, my thumbs hurt. My thumbs hurt.
Oh, from what? Giving too many thumbs up to me?
Yep, during the course of the production of this episode.
Excellent.
Just constant, since I came in the door.
Do your thumbs really hurt?
They did for a while. Wow. They're recovering.
They're recovering, yeah.
Yeah.
You've been out of the loop, the gameplay loop.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a long time between drinks.
Mm.
Although the most recent game I did play was Titanfall 2.
Oh.
Which is by the same company, Respawn Entertainment.
Yes, that's right.
That is, made the game we're going to talk about
that's
this
right.
week.
Because we are going to talk about this week, of course.
Also, this week you said no shenanigans, and what you did,
yes,
as we recorded, and as you put in a theme of sorts,
yeah.
And to me, you sung along to the regular Weekly Planet theme.
Yes.
That's exactly what you would do
to you,
yeah. If you wanted to trick me into thinking that everything's back to normal again, and you've put the regular theme back in.
So you think you're opening up your Twitter, thinking you're not going to get harassed about that I've changed the theme song, unbeknownst to you that I have done.
You've
that.
Absolutely done it. So I feel maybe you've done it again, but if you have, kudos to you for concealing it so well.
Very good.
But obviously you had a glint in your eye, and I'm like, well,
something's up. Also, I can just change it at any point if for any reason in the edit.
You could change it in the edit.
I'm having a good time.
Yeah. We're all having a good time. One of us is afflicted with paranoia, but
we're still having a good time.
Yeah.
So yeah. So as mentioned, we are going to talk about a couple of Star Wars things later. There's time codes if you want to jump to that. Fallen Order, of course, the video game experienced.
Yes.
And also the Mandalorian.
Ginger Jedi.
That's
Fallen
right.
Order.
Ginger Jedi. Yeah. And we've got things to say about both of those things. Like I said, yeah, jump ahead if you want to. But, of course, we always do the news of the week on the show, don't
hey,
we,
before
probably?
Before we talk about that, so he's been the star of Gotham.
Yes.
Cameron.
Monaghan. Yes.
He's been motion-capped into this game.
Yes.
That's not his natural hair, one assumes.
No, he's pretty red.
Oh, there
pretty
you go.
Ginge,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But I'm talking like texture.
Oh,
about
I don't
movement.
Know. I think he's got a lot of versatility
okay,
there.
Okay, right.
I think
right.
you should googs him.
Okay, I'll give him
see
a
what he's got going
right,
on.
I'll do that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, the news you were saying.
Are
sorry.
You impressed by hair physics these days? Has it gone beyond what you'd ever imagine?
Look, I've got some thoughts
there's
about
there's a lot of fluidity to it. I think sometimes too much fluidity. Like, it feels like it's blowing in the breeze, but there's no breeze.
There's no breeze, right, yeah. Okay. And we'll get to it. We'll get to it. I'll put a pin in it.
Yeah.
Put a pin in hair talk.
Yeah, we'll get
talk
to it.
About it, all right?
It looks like a Chris Evans, Captain America.
I said put a pin in it.
Yeah.
We'll talk
right.
about it
we'll
later.
We'll talk about it later. But we won't put a pin in this.
Okay.
We'll talk about Disney Plus.
Well, we're taking a pin out of this.
That's right. Now, they've had something like 10 million sign-ups for their first week of their app. It's, of course, launching in Australia in a couple of days.
Couple
or
of days.
It has already?
I'll
I think
check.
It's actually already has. Look, I VPN'd it. What do I know? So I've already got it. But if you live in parts of Europe, well, just Europe, I believe it's March of next year due to all sorts of licensing and scheduling rights, which is an absolute nightmare
madness.
For people who live there. Also, they're just going to pirate everything.
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah.
So if they haven't already. So,
well, I mean, by the time it comes out in many places in Europe, The Mandalorian will be finished,
yes.
Which I feel is a lot of people's only reason.
For now, at least,
yeah. Yeah, for getting Disney Plus, right?
I think a lot of these 10 million is... what did they say? We talked about last week, 90% were Mandalorian related.
Yeah, right.
But then, of course, we've got some other shows which we're going to talk about, which people will probably also jump on board for Falcon and Winter Soldier, What If, et cetera, and so forth, which we'll get to today. But I think that's a huge launch. For comparison, Netflix worldwide has 158 million. But you got to remember also that 10 million is just the US.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah.
HBO has 8 million. CBS has 8 million. So all of these, like Netflix is obviously ahead because it's had like a decade or so, maybe a bit less. And of course, before that, it was.
Well, like, that number also includes the DVDs that are currently still in circulation.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, you know.
Because there's no fines, are there? They're just apparently zipping not. Around out yeah. there, having
is,
a good old
is
time.
Is the DVD?
I believe you just get a new one when you send it.
But
I
is that
know.
Still happening?
It is. Yeah.
Wow.
We've had someone write in to think about it. Like either they work there or they know someone who works there, and that's still the service that they provide. Yeah.
If you have a bad internet connection.
Well, that's the thing though, because I'm often limited by my internet connection.
Yeah. Right.
About every 2 to 3 months, I get someone knocking on the door and go like, we're from the NBN. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Unless you're drilling a cable into my house, I don't want to fucking see any of you pricks. Get out of here.
This is a very regional a vendetta you've developed. For American listeners, non-Australian listeners, Australia was promised a national broadband network many years ago, which was sabotaged by the government.
Yep.
And now it's...
junk.
It's been rolled out. It's being rolled out for like the last 5 or 6 years, and it's nobody can get it yet.
Or some people have it.
A small number of people can get it.
It depends where you live. If you live close to the node, then it's good.
It's way slower than it was promised.
Yeah,
it's already been superseded by 5G.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now they're blocking 5G for multiple reasons, and of course Foxtel, which we hate here, has a hand in slowing it down because they control a large majority of everything. Anyway, but I was speaking to a friend of mine who works at Telstra today. Who owns Foxtel? No one cares about this. Skip ahead.
Wait. So you're speaking to a friend who works at Telstra who owns Foxtel. So you're speaking to your good friend Rupert
That's
Murdoch.
That's right, my good friend Rupert Murdoch.
Wow, okay. What did
my
he have
dad. Yeah, your dad's Bob Iger. Mine's Rupert Murdoch. But that Telstra's just a sinking ship at the moment. They're putting all their stuff overseas because they can't afford any of it here. And everything is going down the toilet. So we'll see what happens. Anyways,
what are we talking about?
The point is that Disney Plus launch is huge. Yeah. And whether or not people will drop off after The Mandalorian, I'd imagine if people get around to dropping off stuff, they might. But it seems like the lineup of stuff people seem to be enjoying. People are sending us things that they've... checking out Million Dollar Duck, one of our favorites.
Absolutely, that's going to be in there.
Weekly Planet podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Boogity, another favorite that I've mentioned.
Oh, is that is gaining a lot of traction, Mr. Boogity? Apparently, that's become a cult classic now.
It's so weird because I mentioned it like last week on Suggestible, the week before for Halloween. I was like, this was a thing that like spooked me as a kid, and then like a week later, it's like it's everywhere.
It's in the public consciousness.
Well, everywhere. it's not trending on Twitter, is it? Maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, it's a hot topic. Is there anything other than The Mandalorian that would get you getting this, though?
Currently?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
Because we got all the Marvel stuff, a lot of the Marvel stuff with another streaming service recently. So until those contracts expire, they're just going to be around.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's a very impressive back catalogue.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
reasonable.
I think what will get me in, obviously The Mandalorian, but also... just a general look around, I suppose, to be like, what else does Disney own? Everything.
Yeah. Well, like, what specifically is there? Yeah. Whatever. Apparently, there's a lot of stuff buried deep there, which is you wouldn't expect to find necessarily.
The
racist stuff. Mason.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The Song of the South. That's what I'm there for.
I don't think that's on there, actually.
Oh, no. But just have a root around in the vault and see what there is.
Have a root around, mate.
I think what is going to happen, though, is when The Mandalorian finishes, for a lot of people, that is going to be the evaluation and the juggle around of everybody streaming things. Like, people are going to be like, well, do I still really need Netflix? Do I need Stan? Do I need HBO Max? Do I need whatever?
Do you cancel these things? Because I generally do. I often, like, a credit card will expire and I'll
and
be
just
like,
let
whatever.
It go, yeah, right.
And that's what
I generally don't.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, because, I mean, a lot of, you know, they're all month to month.
You should cancel them, by the way, if you're not using it.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, they're all, almost all of them are month to month. And I think a lot of people are like, well, I want CBS this month and I want Netflix next month or whatever. And they sort of switch them around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
But I think a lot, and the way they get people is a lot of people are like, I can't be bothered doing that. What do I have to do?
Yeah.
And they hide it in some menu somewhere. You can't cancel it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just cut up your credit card and you're covered.
It's not how it works at
cut
all.
Cut it up, mate.
Cut up your laptop. That'll do it.
A big pair of pruning shears.
You are an idiot for thinking cutting up your credit card will do it. But get a big pair of pruning shears or donate it to one of those YouTube channels where they crush a thing in a vice just to see what it'll do.
No, but I don't think I would get it outside of The Mandalorian. And if it wasn't this, it would be the next thing that's...
Yeah, uh-huh.
Like, it'd be the Marvel stuff, like I said. But, you know, but again, this is a really... A very impressive launch.
Yeah.
And also Endgame's there day one as well. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff.
But also, as I was saying to you earlier, that I keep getting the Disney Plus ads on Instagram where they just flick through hundreds of properties like a fraction of a second at a time. And I think that's absolutely designed to fool you into being like, oh, do I reckon? Oh, no. Oh, that could be. Oh, is that a...
And
oh,
it's gone.
Yeah, then it's gone. And you're like, oh, I guess, okay.
I thought Ragnarok, but then you own it or whatever.
Right,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, there's also sensitivity warnings in front of some things. I'm assuming like, you know...
Or for like flashing lights and things.
No, it's like this was made in a time where like this is a different
moment. That kind of sensitivity.
They've been doing this for nearly 100 years. So obviously there's going to be This streaming service. And obviously Disney are going to have stuff that's like... Well, The Crows in Dumbo is like a pretty tame example.
Right, uh-huh,
they've done much like more insensitive things. But yeah, I think it's interesting that they're putting out these things. But like, listen, you got to think about the context of the time this was made. Apparently that's what I've heard people say.
I would absolutely enjoy... If they were doing that up until movies that came out this year. They're like, well, you got to remember 2017 was a very different time.
That Winnie the Pooh weird grim reboot where Christopher Robin's grown up. We obviously this was a misfire.
We badly misjudged it. We thought this would be a hit. And look, I just want to be clear that the executive involved has been fired. Here's his email address and his home address if you want to send him some things. Do what you want.
Exactly. Anyway... It's a huge success for now.
Good for them.
Good for them, right?
Yet another success for the struggling battler that is the Disney Corporation. Good for them. Good for you, Disney.
It is a success, though.
Yes.
Somewhat, we'll see. Sin City is being adapted for TV by Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez again. Those two, of course, worked on the Sin City movies.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that was good and the second one nobody saw.
And also The Spirit?
I think that was just
Frank
Miller.
Just Frank Miller, okay, right.
Yeah, he just went, what if I just do Sin City, but with a property that... Doesn't look anything like Sin City.
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
Sounds good to me.
Does it?
What's it going to be on? Free-to-air television? Network?
I'm not sure if they announced
HBO,
that.
Right?
I did forget to mention, actually, Netflix are doing Beverly Hills Cop 4, presumably off the back of Dolomite Is My Name. And
yeah, okay.
Like Eddie Murphy's doing... He's
all right, that could be good.
I think it could be, definitely. And Eddie Murphy, man, he crushed it recently. Yeah. I think he's you know, his resurgence seems to be coming in hot and or fast.
Yeah.
Or both. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we applaud his resurgence, is there any reason we shouldn't be applauding his resurgence?
He did come out recently and say that a lot of the stuff that he said in the 80s, he stands by, if not more so.
I don't think that's
true. No, he said, like, again, context of the time, and these are things I don't believe anymore, and which I think is an excellent approach.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
You know? Mm. So you can change your opinion on things. People can learn and grow. I think that's important, instead of being like, fuck you, comedy's dead, like a lot of people do, you know?
So, well, I say never learn or grow.
Me too.
Yeah.
So anyway, Sin City. Where's it going? It doesn't matter, I guess. But will you get that Sin City streaming service? It's got both movies. It's got The Spirit. It's got the week-to-week TV series.
Oh, my goodness.
It's got the graphic novels. You can flick
watch them on your television. The delay is intense. You have to use your TV remote to find the corner of the page, and then you click it, and then it very slowly it makes a fluff 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 noise, and it turns the page.
Or you set it to automatic,
but
of course it's set to the dumbest person watching, so it's just a minute between pages.
Right, okay. Or they send you like a new peripheral, which is like. It's a big thumb, and you have to lick the thumb,
and then swipe
your screen. Yeah,
I hate that.
That's what it's going to be.
Day one, though, for me, obviously.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, Sin City.
I guess I'd watch. I mean, you know, there's a lot of Sin City storyline still to adapt.
Yeah, there is.
And
I wonder whether they're going to do like branch off from the movies, or they're just going to redo it.
Yeah,
I wonder. Oh, or new stuff, and
you know what would upset? Not upset. That's too strong a word. But I think what would be disconcerting is if the Sin City kind of stylized effect they used in the movies they just put directly in this, but not quite as good.
Oh, right, yeah.
That would burn it for me.
I think we're at a point where they could make this super cheap.
I think so,
and look
too,
make it look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is all green screen at
this
point.
It's all green screen, mate. And it's people sitting on green screen boxes pretending to hold a steering wheel.
And I imagine for a lot of it, they've got all the assets on a server somewhere, just
100%,
like weird grayscale building.
Yep.
Just replicate it 100 times, there's your city again.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, they have the city, I guess.
They've got the Sin City.
They've got the Sin City.
Yeah. Next up, we have good news for the Joker. That they might be doing a sequel. No, he was like, the director was like, if we can find something thematically relevant, we'll come back to it or whatever.
Oh, I thought you meant more in the sense of like, Batman's had his back broken by Bane again. That's fine. Good news for the
Batman's
Joker.
Batman's still out there. He's having a good time about it.
Okay.
Apparently, Robat Battenbat, the Batman, the costume is going to harken back to like the blue and greys of.
That's fun. Okay. So I think that's due for a resurgence.
Definitely. Well, they haven't really done it since in live action since the 60s.
The 60s,
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But there's definitely a way to do that.
Yeah.
Live action to make it look good. We've
seen
it.
This
in cosplay.
Feels way like it feels way more. Like this is heading towards a sort of a maybe a, again speaking of Frank Miller, like a Batman Year One,
yes.
Where it's just more of a clothy costume and like bulky utility belt and kind
or
of
long Halloween, like that's kind of what he wears in that, right?
Yeah, right.
Long ears, short ears. What are we doing? It's got to be long ears this time, right? Because they did short ears last time.
I think it's going to be short ears again.
But long Halloween is long ears. Long Halloween.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Long Halloween.
Well, this one's going to be called Long Halloween (parentheses) with short ears though. Yeah, so
that's not even a known property.
Second set of parentheses. Sorry, everyone. Here's the executive who greenlit it. Parentheses. Here's his address.
Have you seen? Just go to anything that Warner Brothers put out on Twitter this week. They changed their logo. It's slick. It's new.
Warner Brothers
it's now. It's just like a simplified version of their logo, and it's just a million people being released the Snyder Cut. And it's also Zack Snyder's not helping because every 2 days he'll release like a behind-the-scene image and people are like, this is what we deserve. They're going to have to do it.
Oh, absolutely,
if they've got it, they just got to do it.
And that's the thing. At this point, why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't you? There's
everybody,
do it now also, not in 5 years when no one cares.
Well, everybody who wants the Snyder Cut already has... We're talking about Justice League, right?
I love it.
Okay, good. Everybody already has it on... 4K or Blu-ray or whatever.
No, but I'm
saying everybody who's interested in
okay.
it already. Everybody who's interested in the Snyder Cut has already bought it on whatever home media format.
Sure,
and though they will buy it again,
100%.
So exactly,
I would if it was like $5 to rent or whatever. I would 100%. That's what I did for the Ultimate Cut. Like I rented that for BBS to see what it was like. Yeah. Turns out, it's a bit longer.
It's a bit longer, isn't
People
it?
People say it's much better. I think it's slightly better. I still like that movie. Like. A lot of it on its own. Some of it I do not like as much.
Oh, yes.
Let's get into it again.
Let's never get into it again.
Anyway, but the reason I bring up the Joker and its sequel, because I think there's a good chance it might be getting one, because it just hit 1 billion worldwide. The first R-rated movie to ever do as such.
Good Lord.
Good Lord. Again, we have mixed feelings on it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't like it.
Correct.
I thought it was fine. We've heard all
what a range of emotions.
I know. We've heard all the comments coming our way. But... this is good, I think, because again, weirder stuff, it's a lot more, smaller budget. We talk about this all the time.
Again, so, it's not my money.
No.
So if they want to make another one, go for it.
But release the Snyder Cut.
Release the Snyder Cut, though,
of
obviously.
Of Joker.
Yeah. Yep.
More shoulder pads. Oh,
Snyder's getting
goggles.
A shot at this one, yeah.
Yes. And on DC, Black Adam, there was some concept art released and a release date for the Black Adam movie. Did you see the concept art?
I did see the concept art, and I saw The Rock's post about the concept art, where
it's
he's
gritty.
Like... He's a different kind of superhero. He's a villain, The Rock. You've been tricked. You've been tricked by your agent and you've been tricked by Warner Brothers.
He's sort of, like, he's kind of more anti-hero now, right?
I guess it's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the question, though. I wonder if maybe even in the comic books they've started tweaking the character just so it will appeal to the actor, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, it's possible.
So he'll be that role.
I think he signed on something like 8 to 10 years ago to this.
Yeah.
By the time it comes out.
Yeah, right.
In 2021, December of. It's going up against Avatar.
Yeah.
I think this could 100% beat Avatar.
Okay.
The Rock.
Yeah, sure.
Superhero movie.
Yeah, okay.
A sequel to Shazam of sorts, which is a movie that maybe didn't do super well, but people like it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a fair shot.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Mm. All right.
What do you think?
I'm not as optimistic as you, but I think it'd probably do pretty well.
I'm nothing but pure optimism.
Okay.
I'm a shining star in the podcasting industry.
So you're saying
of
that
properties doing well.
The combination of superheroes, super hot right now, and The Rock, super hot right now, combine them together.
Social media presence and such and so forth.
Okay, right.
Also, it looks like it's a little like dirtier of a costume than I thought it would be.
Uh-huh.
Like, because the Shazam one is like, it looks like a...
Like a cartoon
sneaker
costume.
Or something. Yeah. Like a fancy sneaker.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, which I like,
uh-huh.
I should point out.
So, and there was that scene where he had to pump up his chest emblem.
Yeah, that's right.
To get ready to fight, but then he pumped it up too far and it pops.
And it went
yeah.
In other comic book news, Robert Downey Jr. is apparently joining the What If series as the voice of Iron Man. He's back.
Intriguing, okay.
Yeah, that's from Jeff Goldblum. And of course, we also got the first look at some of the What If stuff, including Peggy Carter as Captain Britain, I assume.
I think it's being listed as Captain Carter, but maybe not.
Oh, Captain Carter. Okay.
I mean, maybe it's called Captain Carter.
She's got a Union Jack shield, right?
In the show, she's called Captain Britain. I don't know.
Okay. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I really like, and Steve Rogers has like an Iron Man suit.
Yeah, okay.
I really like the look of it. I think the animation is really slick and different and really interesting.
Yes.
I was kind of worried it was going to be like, you know those Marvel movies they made like 10 years ago? It's like Ultimate Avengers team up and whatever. And it's just like, whatever. And this looks really interesting and unique, and like they look enough like the actors, and it's got its own kind of flair to it.
You're just ready from the press release now.
I'm a shooting star of positivity.
They look enough like the actors.
Yeah. What do you want? It's close enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think though? There's just some GIFs and GIFs out there of things happening. And speaking of course, there are some concept art released of Falcon and Winter Soldier, which has started filming, as well as Hawkeye.
What I assume to be US agent, John Walker.
Yes, what do you think of that?
Looks good. It looks, it looks like, well, if the government wanted to replace Captain America.
Yeah.
Would they make it more slick and cool and hot?
It's what's his name, isn't it, as well? Wyatt Russell.
Ah.
Who, his dad played Wyatt Earp in Tombstone. Kurt Russell.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, that makes sense.
I didn't mean to do any of that. I'd kind of fumble my way through it, but it worked.
Perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you say you fumbled through it, you mean every episode of this podcast prior to now?
Correct, yes.
We've just fumbled through it.
One long trip.
Yeah.
You know when you go, when you're like, you stumble down some stairs and you're like, but you pull it off at the end.
That's right. Anyway, it looks good. The Falcon, it's his most comic booky costume yet, I feel.
It's redder than it's ever been.
That's right.
And look, if they're doing comic book accurate costumes, would it be remiss of me to say feathery bird wings?
You think there's going to be feathery bird wings?
I don't know.
Okay.
Do you think there's going to be feathery bird wings?
No, I do not think there's going to be feathery
bird
wings.
I think there's going to be a nod to feathery bird wings.
Huh.
If not painted on, if not just feathery bird wings.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a nod to the comic books and a nod to the movie Condor Man.
Correct. Okay. Two great things.
Do you think Condor Man's on Disney Plus?
Yes. Do you?
Maybe.
Is it a Disney property?
I don't know. At this point, probably.
Yeah.
Also, Winter Soldier finally got that haircut.
What do you think?
Love it.
Slick AF?
Yes.
Good.
Who owns Condor
It's
Man?
Walt Disney, yeah.
There you go. So maybe I'll get Disney Plus just for Condor Man.
Should we do Condor?
Michael Crawford's best.
Best? Better than his Phantom?
Better than Some Mothers Do Have Him.
I was going to say, is it better than Some Mothers Do Have Him?
Yes.
So I guess we're doing Condor Man before this show comes out for Caravan of Garbage.
Are we? Okay.
I guess we are.
All right.
You've seen it, haven't you?
I've seen
it. He's got a car full of stuff. You're always talking about it.
Of course.
Mm.
Yeah, Condor. Are people aware of Michael Crawford?
I think
Jack of all trades back in the day.
British 100% are.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And here, because our culture is just a mixture of British and American.
He was like a sitcom star, and he's also like
an incredible seer.
Like the Andre Rieu of his time, in the sense that if you go into a post office, there was just like Michael Crawford CDs.
Yeah, he's like holding a dove while kissing a feather or something.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because of Condor Man.
Because of Condor Man. Yeah. I meant to say flower, but I guess feather makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of Condor Man.
Because of Condor. But I think if it was the US, more people would know him from Condor Man. People ask us about Condor Man. People like talk about Condor Man more.
Okay.
We'll get to it.
We will.
I don't really want to, but we'll do it.
He's a comic book artist or something.
Or something.
Yeah.
But then he makes a set of condor wings.
No, the CIA or something recruit him. And they're
or
like,
something.
And they're like, we need you to do this. And he's like, only if you build a bunch of insane things for me. And they're like, I guess.
Or something.
We'll put a car inside another car. All right.
Is that what you want?
Yes.
Oh, man. Here we go. Hot news from Variety.
Okay.
Wow. That's hot.
It's unbelievably hot.
It's a new segment called That's Hot.
I don't like it.
I like it a lot.
I don't like it
at all. That's why I've introduced it.
Oh, wow.
Let the public decide.
Okay.
And then they could also decide whether it's hot or not.
Oh, actually, now I'm back on board.
There we go.
Look, I was kind of hoping at some point for the resurgence of our... You know what? A segment that never really came back that I enjoyed a lot was... Do you remember our segment, Hot Quick News? Remember Hot Quick News?
I just remember us yelling, Hot News, quick, quick, hot news.
Yeah, that's why I liked it.
And that was
never came back, and I'm like, but then at the same time, I'm like,
I feel like that was just us doing the regular news, but just shouting hot, quick news before.
I think maybe what it was is one of us had to leave
quite
early, and we're like, we'll just make it hot, quick news.
We can bring it back.
All right, not this week. We've got all the time in the world.
All the time in the world. Variety is reporting that Mark Wahlberg will join the Uncharted movie again, but this time as Sully.
So this time, the Uncharted movie has been in development for so long that he was going to be Nathan Drake initially. The young, hot adventurer, and now he's the old mentor character.
With a mustache, presumably.
Yeah, okay, right.
You got to give him a mustache, right?
Well, Sully has
a mustache. That's the only thing that he needs.
But also, at the same time, Sully looks nothing like Mark Wahlberg.
Have you ever seen, there are Uncharted, I think it's Uncharted 3 and maybe the fourth one, there are flashbacks where he's a younger man.
Yeah, okay. And does he look like Mark Wahlberg?
Oh, no.
No, I was going to say.
He looks like Tom Hanks.
Sully looks like the late Powers Booth, I think.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, we can't get him.
No, and he won't be back for Sin City either. So.
No. Because he died. And.
Yes.
So that means he'll be opposite
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. Okay. What a pairing.
Yeah.
Name a more iconic duo, Mason. I'll wait.
Bangers and Mash. both the food combination and the monkey duo.
Really good, both of those. And what you've done there.
Yeah.
Internationally themed. You're bringing in audiences.
I think so too, yeah.
Synergy. And I like that. Mm-hmm. Are you more or less excited for this project that may or may not happen still? Is he going to age out of the role again?
I should say
again?
Also that I thought you were going to just say, are you being served?
Are you being served?
Because that's where my brain has switched over to just dumb British sitcom mode, so that's all I can think of now.
Mm.
Bring back, I say, an Are You Being Served reboot probably with Tom Holland.
Probably with Tom Holland.
What was your question? I've forgotten it.
Do you care about this and are they going to make it?
Look, I am.
Bearing in mind it's a video game.
I was on board. I'm on board just to see if they finally make a good one.
Mm.
Video game movie.
Tomb Raider.
Is. It was fine.
Some of Warcraft.
Remember the really good one.
Yeah.
Like a one that stands on its own that people wouldn't just go to see it just because they're a fan of the video game.
I think Metal Gear Solid could be a fair shot from who's involved.
Again, like, Powers Booth would have been a great...
Yes.
Old Snake.
Old Snake.
Yeah.
Whichever Snake that is.
Yeah. Which is ironic because how he died was
he
had an enormous
old
piece of metal embedded in his head.
Is that true?
No, I don't know how he died.
Are you going to get Death Stranding, a.k.a. Walking Simulator?
The game?
People are like... It's really bad for 14 hours.
Oh, no. And
but
then it gets a bit better?
You come across a ladder which another player left for you, and then you get out of the acid rain, and then it's like the best thing that's ever happened to you.
When you say another player, do you
mean another character? You can leave like hints towards and ropes for other players.
Oh, so it's got some sort of online networking
functionality. You know the movie The Postman with Kevin Costner?
Yeah.
It's that, but you carry a baby with acid rain.
I'm aware there's a baby. Look, I'm aware of the general... Here's the thing, though. I thought... Approaching the release date of the game, I would learn, like, all the weird details would sort of coalesce into a thing that made any kind of sense.
Mean something.
And they really haven't.
The baby helps you see space.
Is it a real baby or some sort of...
It's a real baby, I think.
Okay. Or like a synthetic baby.
I don't... You know what? I don't know and I don't care. I'm never going to get it. I know people are going to message me and be like, give it a chance. I never will.
I feel like
I
what...
I never will.
I feel like what...
I never
...has
will.
Prevented me from being interested in is that the... Player character, like the character model is just so awkward.
Do you mean like the way it walks? Or
yeah, because
like...
he's just got like this 4 foot wide backpack on. You know what I mean?
Also, he trips.
Oh, good, because like... he's a gigantic backpack.
Yes.
Right.
But it's an experience and people are either loving it or hating it.
I don't know.
But this is everything that I hate in video games.
Hideo Kojima.
That's right.
Very long cutscenes, probably.
Correct.
I bet of the 14 hours.
Weird, fiddly, like, specific mechanics,
yeah.
Which ruin an experience because you're too busy micromanaging inventory.
Okay.
I don't like any of that shit.
Yeah, right.
If I want to do that, I'll play Football Manager something. I quite like those games. I just
especially
like to see my boys get up.
Football Manager something. Yeah, that would be good.
Right.
Yeah, now look, what I want, I think, is I want the, what we're going to get in the net, you know, because it's come out this week, is that we're going to get Hideo Kojima fanboys saying it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get the reaction to the Hideo Kojima fanboys, which is people going, you know, it's just Hideo Kojima. It's just very, silly and it's just fanboys doing a thing. And I actually give it 0 out of 10.
Yeah.
And then we're going to find some common ground. And I reckon about in about a month, we're going to get, all the think pieces are going to be out, yeah. and I think I'm going to find somebody out there who's going to be like, this game is fine. And at this point, I might have finished Fallen Order, so maybe I'll buy it.
Maybe you will. Mm. But you got to play Control first, of course.
Oh, I haven't finished Control.
Yeah.
Also, if somebody could come up with some sort of mod that shrinks his backpack,
yeah, that good would be point. Good,
yeah.
Or maybe just makes him bigger.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Yeah. Also, his name's like Bridger Bridgington, and his job's to bridge the fate of all the states in America or something. We get it. It's a good metaphor.
I didn't get it.
Make his backpack smaller, though.
He's carrying shit, isn't he?
Yeah, I guess.
It's in the boxes. I think you have to carry your dead mother at one point. Is that a spoiler? Listen, speaking of video games.
Also, did they paste your own mother in there? Because that would be weird.
Yeah, you scan her in.
Okay, good.
The Sonic the Hedgehog, only after she's died. You can't put your living mother in there. It has to be a reflection of your own life.
Okay.
You've got to wait till your mother dies.
Because if you put your alive mother in there, she dies.
Doesn't really.
It's a bit of Hideo Kojima magic. You know, he's always doing that.
He comes to
he's
your house.
He's always making it meta.
He comes to your house and murders your mother.
Yeah.
If you live with your mother, of course. You know what? A guy poked his head over the fence the other day. He was cutting the hedge. He's an older dude. He was a nice guy, right?
Because
the hedge is, you know, it's like between properties.
Can I stop you here first?
Yeah.
What are you just thinking of the TV show Home Improvement? Was this Wilson from
Home
Improvement?
Gave me some fatherly advice. Okay. No, and he goes, oh, I'm just cutting this hedge, whatever, because, you know, your neighbour.
We all understand how cutting a hedge works.
Whatever my neighbour's name is. Mm-hmm. I should know, I don't. And he's like, yeah, is your dad home? And I'm like, this is my fucking house, man. I bought this house. I've got grey hair. Look at me.
Also, what was your dad home?
He was not home.
That would have been such a... Oh, my God. Imagine that move. If you're like, I don't know, just check. Hey, Dad. And then your dad comes over.
That would have been incredible.
Comes to the fence. Your dad's there. He's greyer than you somehow.
Yeah. I was kind of flattered. I'm also like, do I not look like a person who could buy a house?
Mm.
I guess I don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Speaking of buying the house, or betting the house, Mason,
they've
redesigned the character... Yeah.
And by redesign, you mean they've just yes, got the video game design and put it in the movie like everyone thought they should have initially.
It looks much better. The trailer is much better.
Someone pointed out.
Yeah.
It was Sarah from our friends over at Sarah and Michael Save Christmas.
Love
podcast. The original version of Sonic that we see in the first trailer looks a little bit like James Marsden.
Does it?
Like if you put them side by side.
Do you think that's like subconscious?
Apparently there was maybe some... plot thread that might have been in a prior version.
Where it's like him from another dimension.
That they're related somehow.
Incredible.
That like he is Sonic's son. And that's how that's why they've come together in such a manner.
I hope it's that and not the opposite, that Sonic's his son.
Right.
Because
yeah.
I think that's way weirder.
That would be so weird. Because what's James Marsden been up to?
What has he been up to?
Yeah, right. Westworld.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So he's throwing rings, he's going interdimensional.
Yes.
Jim Carrey's getting delivered lattes, which he enjoys.
Mm-hmm,
I actually didn't mind that joke. I was like, that's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a robotnik.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
He's just doing the mask.
Anyway, this looks way better.
Yeah.
People are oddly hyped. Does this feed...
let's all calm
does
down.
This, well, here's the thing. Does this feed into a lot of people's longstanding conspiracy theory that the first Sonic design was a fake out in some sort of bizarre marketing technique to hype people up
I
for a version that is
I don't necessarily think that... I think going into that trailer, they knew they were going to redesign it.
I think they probably
showed a bunch of people and people were like, we hate this. And they thought, well, how do we get buzz? We'll put this out and then we'll say we're going to change it.
Yeah, right.
And people were like, was that going to be every movie now and forever?
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, maybe it'll be. It might be some or this will go away.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it'll be a case-by-case basis.
Some say case-by-case basis. Some people will point to the Star Wars movies that keep getting, you know, re-edited slightly.
We should talk about that. I should have put that in.
And some people say... I've lost my train of thought.
McCulkley.
Yeah, some people say that. Yes.
Did you hear about this?
Yeah, obviously I heard about this, yeah.
So, for those who don't know, on Disney Plus, all the Star Wars movies are available, including Star Wars: A New Hope, originally just called Star Wars 1.
Now, do you get when you get Disney Plus, and we'll know in a couple of days?
Mm.
Do you get original 1970s version of A New Hope?
No,
you don't.
This is the version that they apparently made. It's a 4K transfer that they were going to re-release in 3D. I don't know if you remember. In about 2011, might have been a bit after, they re-released Phantom Menace, and either because they were selling it in 3D. Either because they were selling it or because it didn't do super well, they stopped. They were going to do the series.
Right.
Because, you know, 3D was whatever.
Yeah.
So that was this version. So George Lucas did this.
Okay.
So it wasn't a Disney
recently,
change.
Or so this is before
he sold it. So yeah, this is the version he gave them, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, right?
you just
use another version.
You just can't leave it alone.
Okay, and this one So the main sticking point...
He sold it like 8 years ago.
Correct me if I'm wrong, 7 years ago. Is that, you know, one major sticking point for the re-edits of Star Wars A New Hope is yes. that when we're introduced to Han Solo in the original version, he's having a conversation with the alien Greedo.
Greedo speaking Huttese.
And he finishes off, he finishes the conversation by shooting Greedo under the table. And over the years, they've changed the version to like Greedo shooting at him first, so Han is less of a scoundrel.
Yep.
There's versions where they both seem to fire at the same time.
Yep.
There's a version where Han sort
shifts
of
his head.
Shifts out of the way using CGI.
Brilliant.
And this new version...
He says, just before they shoot each other, he says McClunkly.
Who says this?
Greedo.
Greedo says McClunkly.
Something
now,
like
what's
that.
McClunkly?
We don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like
it's not in Huttese.
I think he's doing it on purpose to annoy people. George Lucas did it on purpose to annoy people.
Right, okay.
I think because he got bashed for years for the prequels. And this
Sometimes physically.
And
that food court in Adelaide.
Yeah, this is a way. He goes to a food court once and everybody cannot stop talking about it. You notice that?
Yeah.
He just went and got some fried rice from a Bay Marie.
Oh, my God. I'd get some fried rice from a Bay Marie right now.
I would not do that. And so I think it's his way of kind of just messing with people. I think he does have like a strange sense of humor. And I think this is great. And they should let him keep Tigre with it. Because you know what? There is the despecialized edition that you can get. People have made them. You can download them if you want them.
Yeah, right.
They exist.
Isn't it weird that one of the most copyright-hungry corporations of all time seems to be okay with people just like making homebrew versions?
I don't
of,
think they're okay with it at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, right. It's just hard
it's
to
just
track
what do
them
you
down.
Do? It's on Pirate Bay or whatever.
But that's the thing. But like, it's this weird Star Wars has become this weird public domain situation now where people are like, I made my own edit.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're really. Quite
litigious.
Relaxed on fan films. You can use all the assets and whatever and spin-offs of certain characters and all the music and whatever. The only thing is you cannot make a profit from it or crowdfund for something.
Oh,
but
see,
you can
make
literally whatever you want. They'll let you do it. Unlike Star Trek, which I was speaking to John Stratman who does the 16-bit animations.
Yeah,
he's incredible. He's got a Star Trek project that he kind of wants to work on, but there is the Star Trek, it's very weird and complicated. And
I see.
Remember they made that... They made the cancelled series of the original series. Like someone like remade their own version.
Yeah, that's
or
right. Yeah,
and
yeah,
was, that got tied up in a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
I don't know where that's at. Yeah. So anyway, that's where we're at though.
Good for us.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When I sink into a Casper mattress, Mason, your Casper mattress, when I come over and I use it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What
on,
I
wait,
find.
Wait, what?
When you sleep at night.
Yes.
I creep in.
Uh-huh.
I tip you into a bin.
Yeah.
And I sleep on your bed.
Well, look, on one Catherine hand, that's Mattress. Immensely disturbing. But on the other hand, I'm not surprised you'd be able to do that because the amazing sink and bounce of my Casper mattress, I'm in such a deep sleep. I wouldn't even notice if you picked me up and chucked me into a bin. Wouldn't even notice. I'm having such a great time.
That's right, because they're cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing supportive comfort for all kinds of bodies. And you spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. People at Casper, they work tirelessly to make a quality sleep surface that cradles your natural geometry in all the right places. They use multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amount of sink and bounce and farts. That's you farting in your own bed.
You supply that yourself.
Yeah, they don't do that. Uh-huh. They're not pre-farted on, just to clarify.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, one day.
I mean,
when
that's
the technology
dream.
Evolves
yeah, when,
to
yeah,
that
when
point.
It gets yeah, that point, yeah. yeah. Uh-huh. They've got breathable design that helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And they've got over 20,000 reviews with an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google.
Good Lord.
I know. Casper is fast becoming the internet's favorite mattress. And certainly your favorite mattress, Mason, that you use.
We've said multiple times it's fast becoming the internet's favorite mattress. I think at this point it is.
It must be.
The internet's favorite mattress.
Name a better mattress. You can't.
Do it. Can't do it.
Name a better unboxing experience.
Can't do it.
You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here with your YouTube unboxing videos.
Exactly.
We don't want them anymore.
Oh, look, Funko Pops. Who cares? Casper mattresses.
Exactly. I wonder if there's a Funko Pop of a Casper mattress. I wonder what that would look like.
Let's make it happen, folks. Yeah, let's make it happen, the internet.
It'd be squished up, right?
In the box, yeah. Uh-huh.
What if they could you opened it and it like popped out like a tiny little
Casper mattress. Right? Right. And then you put like Captain Marvel on it or whatever.
That's right.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, this is also pretty cool because you can actually get $100 towards select mattresses. They're already a bargain. This seems unreal to me,
Mason. It seems insanity.
By visiting casper.com/theweeklyplanet and use the offer code theweeklyplanet. Terms and conditions do apply, but you heard it here first, hopefully, maybe. So it's linked below, but you can get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/theweeklyplanet and use the offer code theweeklyplanet, all one word. Terms and conditions apply. If you're looking for a new mattress, you don't need to go mattress shopping. Just order a mattress online and we'll mattress to your door and no mattress.
But not just any mattress, Casper mattress.
That's right.
Use our offer code.
It's linked below.
And then you too can be in a deep sleep and a friend of yours comes to your house and tips you into a bed.
That's right. But you won't wake up.
The dream.
Yes. On with the show?
Yes.
Great. The Mandalorian, Mason.
Hello.
Let me ask you this question.
I'm ready.
Did you find it, man, this is Borean, or man, this is Dorian Gray, as in it's making me feel young again, like a Star Wars fan of my youth? Where do you lay on that?
Oh, it's a really good question. Those two perfect diametrically opposed.
I wrote them down too.
Good for
just
you.
Just to make sure I got it in.
Let's talk about it. How about let's throw those away because they're dumb.
What?
And let's just talk about, all right, more towards the second one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dorian Gray.
Dorian Gray, exactly, yeah. Because I feel young again, like a Star Wars fan.
Because this isn't obviously out in places the world over,
yep.
There are some key spoilers. You've definitely been spoiled on it by now if you have any interest in this. It's all over Twitter, but we'll avoid it, and there are time codes if you want to, if you have somehow avoided it. But I would say track it down as soon as possible because it will, to do with the VPN thing, whatever. Because
if you get spoiled for this, it'll ruin your life.
That's right.
There's no coming back from this. If you're spoiled by the first live-action, large-scale Star Wars TV situation,
yes,
life not worth living anymore.
What are you even doing with yourself?
That's right.
The first thing that struck me about this, more so the second episode, so the second thing also, is that it's quite short. First episode, 38 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Second one is 30.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's a cost thing or they're just keeping it tight, which I appreciate because I don't think all shows need to be an hour in length and 30 episodes long. Oh, yeah.
I feel like maybe, and one thing that this show is attempting to emulate is like old school Western TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like we've been talking about, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where one of the characters is, you know, he keeps...
He's the motifs, the music.
He's a recurring character in, you know, various terrible Westerns of the time. But that feels very much like this.
Yes.
It feels like they're going a little bit old school.
Yeah. I wasn't blown away by the first episode for like the first half because all the reviews I'd seen, like characters and whatever. But then
there is
a particular shootout which... people would have seen, we could probably spoil this, but it's IG-11 and him kind of taking out some...
I also felt like the first 10 minutes of the first episode felt quite cheap.
Yeah, I could see what you're saying,
but
like
kind
as
of
in
rubbery,
like small sets and...
Small sets, and it felt like... Mm. I don't know... how they get around. But it felt a lot like it was being filmed on video.
It's interesting because it's obviously incredibly high budgeted.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of, I think what they're doing there is emulating like the back alleys that we saw on Mos Eisley from the first one. You never get that pullback shot of like the street and like a dinosaur walking past.
What I did enjoy about it, and maybe it's mixed results is doing that, is there are some shots of like the Mandalorian spaceship that I don't know if they are model shots or if they're CGI.
I think it's a mixture, but yeah.
But they look dead on to the vibe there. I assume they're going for, which is the old school original trilogy, where I'm like, oh, that even looks like a red dwarf ship in space kind of thing.
And what I think is even more great about that design is it feels like an original trilogy design, and yet at the same time it fits into the prequels, because that's the era that ship is from.
We're in the midpoint.
So it's crossing kind of those. I think this does a really good job of touching on all. I know it's kind of more of like a original trilogy kind of feel, but it does span the animated and the prequels and the sequels.
Yeah,
like it goes in every direction.
When is this set again?
5 years after Return of the Jedi.
There we go.
Yeah. So I also, what I like about the main character, like he has his awesome first moment where he beats up the guys in the bar and he cuts the guy in half with the door and whatever. I also like that he's just a goof. Like he's just getting beat up and he's fallen down and he's covered in mud and he's slipping over.
Well, that's certainly a throwback to Boba Fett.
100%.
A real Mr. Magoo kind of character.
Yeah.
But I never thought that I would enjoy this sort of stuff, but I think it's sort of...
It's not slapstick.
No, but it's also, he's a guy struggling through this world of... Like every time you turn a corner, there's stormtroopers or there's Jawas or there's a big... Bit like piranha, creepy, it's a horse, but it's a piranha on little legs with little arms.
Yeah, absolutely.
What world is this? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how life would be. It's kind of like he's skilled, but he's also he's struggling with what the world sends up against him.
And also, like, being a bounty hunter, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Because you got to deal with all this shit. It's just you for the most part.
Yeah.
And look, I didn't love the first episode, even though the second one is way more low key. And I guess it kind of feels, you could say it's like a filler episode because not a lot happens. But I think I enjoyed the second one more than the first.
I think I did too, yeah. No, I think I agree with that. How much of that do you think is actually Pedro Pascal in the suit?
I think it's all him.
Because he's got,
credits. Except for the stunties.
Well, he's got listed two doubles in the Mandalorian body doubles in the credits. So I wonder, you think it's all him?
I think it's all him. And one of them, at least, is getting older and older while he gets younger. It's a real Mandadorian situation, Mason.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, obviously, that's a fictional story.
Mm.
So it's probably not true. Mm. I can't confirm that.
Okay.
There's some... the practical stuff elements of it are great, like with the puppeteering and the aliens. It all looks like the old Star Wars, but kind of with better animatronics.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
But the CGI in this is like... also incredible. There's a weird walrus monster which jumps out of the ice and kind of latches on. We finally see a Star Wars toilet on the big screen.
It's true, we do, whatever. Spoiler alert, action. It's right near the gun rack.
Yeah.
As you imagine it would be.
Yeah, I love it. I think they call it the fresher from the Legends. Yes, so I was like, I'm going to the fresher.
The tube, I think one of them calls it the tube.
Yeah. It looks like something you would just piss off.
That'd confuse you in bloody London, wouldn't it? I'm off to the tube.
Wait, do you mean to piss out of a spaceship?
I mean I'm going to evacuate my bowels on the tube.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to do.
People do that. But I looked at that toilet.
Do.
I looked at that and I'm like, it's like diagonal off the wall. Could you even sit on that? Do people in Star Wars have buttholes? We don't know. Are they 100 feet tall?
With no butthole.
We don't know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe they're sort of secreted out of their pores.
Yes, definitely. That's nice.
It is nice, isn't it? We got Nick Nolte in this.
He's... Nick Nolte-ing it. It kind of looks like Nick Nolte.
Finally, we get a Nick Nolte in the Star Wars universe, as was long foretold.
You know what's interesting about that character? I was like, why is he good at building stuff? And then I realized he's an Ugnaught. Like, they're from Cloud City. Uh-huh. I mean, I always knew he's an Ugnaught, but that's a really clever inclusion. That it's like, it's not just a guy who's just, you randomly run into and he's a mechanic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what he does.
He's dismantled so many droids on a conveyor belt and now he's here.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's a question for you, though.
I'm ready.
How do bounty trackers work? What are they tracking? Do the bounties have tracking devices in
their
heads?
They've got a little thing in their
hand. A bleep bloop thing.
And you turn it around and you point it in various directions. And when the beeps get most bleepity bloop, that means you're on target.
Track.
stay on
either that building that they're in, or the person,
the guy you're looking for.
Yeah. Is it like information on the interwebs, which is constantly refreshing? Like people see him in a bar and they update on Star Wars Twitter.
That's a really good question.
Yeah. Is that going to be explained? I feel like that's a pretty big omission to be like, what is this machine?
It operates on plot Wi-Fi is what it does.
Yeah, okay.
It's that is a good question.
You're okay with it?
Because in order for it to work, you would have to, the bounty would have had to have been tagged already.
Yes.
Because he tracks down a number of people throughout the first couple of episodes.
Yeah.
And you're right, it just...
It's where the thing is. Or maybe it's like their last known location. But then he gets ambushed.
Yeah.
In like the middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
But then maybe they found his tracks or whatever. I don't know. Trandoshans. I do like that he's got a disintegration gun.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's great. That's what Boba Fett with like no disintegrations and he's like, all right.
I brought my disintegration gun.
What do I even have this big pitchfork gun for?
Right.
Shooting fork gun for or whatever. Mm. How's that IG-11 action scene? Spinning at the hips.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Gonna self-destruct. Not as Taika Waititi as people had feared. Like, he's just going to do Korg or whatever.
Yeah,
which,
right.
Quite frankly, I'd be okay with. But he feels more droidy.
Yeah,
than
for sure. Uh-huh.
Taika Waititi, yeah.
We've never seen an IG droid in action.
No,
really.
But it's exactly kind of how I figured they would move.
Yeah, you're very creative.
I am, aren't I? No, I just mean, maybe it's, I don't know.
I would have figured
he
would have moved stilted and slow and fallen over a lot. You could just tip him over at the shoulder.
I've fought him in video game form before. He's a bit more...
Yeah,
stiff in that, but just the way he can like swivel at the hips and kind of goose step in any direction while swinging his arms
wildly
or whatever. I think it's really interesting. Also, they talked about why he's not Boba Fett and why IG-11 isn't IG-88.
I'm ready.
Is because those characters have already so much like fan support and legend stories that if you put in IG-88, then you're like, well, he wouldn't have a New Zealand accent, and if that's Boba Fett, well, Boba Fett wouldn't do that.
He would also have a New Zealand accent.
He would have a New Zealand accent.
You'd switch him, exactly. Obviously.
Obviously.
This is madness, people would say. But then what you do is you put them in some sort of force cyclotron of some sort,
yes.
And they have a Freaky Friday moment, and then...
Oh, no, I'm this droid, bro.
Yeah. And I'm no longer a droid, and I don't feel comfortable with saying bro. Because I'm Boba Fett now.
But I think that's a really good idea to be like, it's not IG-88, this character that has like 4 seconds of screen time, but has multiple comics and books and stories that people know him for.
Yes.
So I think, I think that's a good idea. Should we do spoilers?
Let's do spoilers.
We're going to move ahead.
I'm going to say best series ever thus far.
Me too. I mean, who knows which way it's going to go. There's way more stuff to introduce.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen Cara Dune yet, who's, what's her name?
I don't know who that is.
She's an actor. She was in Haywire. Her name is Gina Carano.
Gina Carano, there we go.
Okay, spoilers.
Yeah.
There's a baby Yoda.
It sure is.
That's 50 years old.
Yeah.
Now, other people have posed this, but immediately I sent this to my brother. I was like, okay, let's say this baby is 6 months old, like biologically. Like it's 50, but it's 6 months old, right? And Yoda's one of these creatures.
I'm not following, but continue.
Well, you know how he's 50.
Yes.
But he's like a 6 month old kid.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, but he is 50. Chronologically, he's 50.
Chronologically, he's 50.
Yeah.
That means Yoda's about anywhere between 16 and 18.
Yeah, Yoda's in his teens,
Which means that dude who's in charge, who probably has the Force just because he's got it, he should not be in charge. He's a teenager who always had the ability to float shit.
He's experienced 900 years chronologically, but he's very immature is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. And you know what? It's probably a thing where they're constantly absorbing information. It's like a snowball effect where... Maybe they peak at 50, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like maybe you're infantile till you're 50 or 100 and then you're like, you grow right up, you know?
I also think it's a bit rich though where Yoda's like, he's teaching Luke and he's like, just lift the X-Wing, you dumbass. You don't believe in yourself enough. You've always had this. Uh-huh. This has always been easy
apparently,
for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This guy's just some fucking dude. He shouldn't even be here.
Mm.
Like this is not this
Some
is
would
not
say
fair.
That Luke's always had the Force though.
Yeah, but not like that.
No, that's true.
And I know it took a lot of out of him to like float that rhino, but Luke couldn't have done that ever.
True. Yeah.
So
the second episode especially reminded me of, it's been like a manga and an anime and live action movies, but there's a series called Lone Wolf, Wolf and Cub.
Oh yes,
which is kind of is
that been live action? Did you say?
Yeah.
When?
90s? I don't know.
Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Yeah. But not in America.
Okay,
not like a Western version.
Oh, okay.
But, he's a masterless samurai who's, you know, been betrayed, and all the evidence points to, you know, he's killed his family or whatever you, and he has to go on the run, but he's brought his survivor is his son.
Yes.
Who's been like, you know, what path do you want to choose? Do you want to choose not being on a murderous rampage with me, or on a murderous rampage with me, kind of thing?
Good question.
And that kind of like that had that vibe, because of course he's being followed by the little floaty bassinet.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the Indiana Jones-esque sandcrawler chase. I mean, that's so Indiana Jones, where he's scraping the wall and he's got that's the tank thing like all over again.
Yeah, that was.
The music feels very Indiana Jones.
That was a really impressive action sequence, again, for TV. And I know it's, you know, it's TV, but it's Disney+.
It's TV, but it's 20 million an episode.
20 million an episode, yeah. But that could have looked really cheap and terrible, and it was very good.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed the Space Rhino battle. I don't understand why he brought them the egg. I did like how they're all gross and just eating it, and he's like, what am I even doing? He's like, this is my life. I'm covered in mud. I've been beaten half to death by a rhino just for an egg, for a Cadbury cream egg.
Yeah, for half a dozen Jawas just want to just straight up just munch on immediately.
Yeah, so he kills this rhino.
Yes.
Which was minding its own business and steals its baby to be eaten. I think he should have just killed all those Jawas.
Yeah, me too.
He should have just walked into their camp and just killed them all.
What's interesting?
He could have.
Yeah, for sure he could have.
He should have thermal detonated the top of that.
Yeah. Look, and we'll talk about it, I think, when we talk about the game as well.
They're rats.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, like, it seems to be part of the Star Wars canon is that if it's a beast of any kind, you can kill it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's minding its own business. Conservation does not exist in the Star Wars universe.
You can
it's
kill
a big
it.
Monster. There's probably heaps more. There's so many planets. So many planets with stuff. Just kill it. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. Could you make one a big hairy rhino thing? No, it doesn't matter. Kill it,
steal
though.
Steal its weird hairy egg.
Yeah, steal its egg. Lays kill eggs. It. It's a rhino. It's a hairy rhino that lays eggs.
It only had one as well, which means there's not a lot of these out there.
Yeah,
just kill it.
Yeah.
I like that fight, though. It reminded me of Attack of the Clones. When Boba Fett fights, like, no, Jango Fett, whatever, fights a rhino in an arena or whatever. Yeah. Remember that? Except this was much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also liked how he was like, just at the end, he's like staggering. He's just got a knife.
Yes.
I'm like, there's going to be some Force shit here. Mm. I knew it.
Yeah, me
because
too.
He was doing the Force
for
stuff.
Sure, yeah.
What do you think of Baby Yoda, though? The internet is aflame, Mason, with like, oh my goodness.
It's a Baby Yoda, they say.
Do you love it? I know it's not a Yoda. Uh-huh. They don't have a name.
Why not Yodas, though?
Call them Yodas. Call them Yodas. We know of another. There's also Yaddle. Do you know who Yaddle is?
Is that Yoda's like Yoda girlfriend or something?
Maybe. It's like Yoda with a wig.
Okay, right.
Like, yeah. It's only in Phantom Menace.
Right.
There's theories that like that it's Yoda's daughter or son or whatever.
Yeah,
or
right.
A clone of Yoda or whatever.
But this is the most compelling plot thread that we can have in this series because, again, there's only a Yoda and a Yaddle.
There's only a Yoda and a Yaddle, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any theories about any of that stuff,
it's
though?
Probably just a Yoda.
It's probably just a Yoda.
I mean, maybe Yodas are, you know, beings of force energy and they just sort of
I've
created from nothingness.
We've got a video on it this week on Easter eggs and theories. I'll save it for that.
I'll formulate some thoughts for that.
You know you will. But I think it's a. I thought it was an interesting. I'm glad it wasn't just a human baby. I think this is way more interesting.
Human babies are so boring.
Get them out of here.
You've already had a human baby.
I'm sick of it.
Ugh.
It's so much faster than me. You've seen it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's slick.
It's embarrassing for you.
anything else? Because we do have to do the game.
Yeah, you know what I really liked?
Okay.
Is, and this is a good way to get people to watch the credits, is that kind of watercolor. I don't know if they're storyboards.
Oh, the concept art,
That is concept art, right, that they put over the credits, which is beautiful.
Mm. What I also love about this is when this was launched, it's everywhere, where it's like, this is a return to form, this is the real Star Wars, and finally something that feels like Star Wars. Every single project
is Star Wars.
Oh, I was going to say that, but I can, including The Force Awakens, maybe less so Last Jedi, every one of them, people are like, well, this is the one that really feels like Star Wars.
Right.
It's like Rogue One. It's like, well, this is the Star Wars. And then it was Solo. It's like, see, this is like the real Star Wars, like the underworld of Star Wars.
Yeah,
but
right.
Every time it's like, no, this is, I think we should just all just ease up on that. Some people like some things and others.
Be aware that Star Wars has many aspects to it.
Yes.
And all of them can be the real Star Wars.
Or good or bad.
Yes.
So far, good start. Mm-hmm. There's eight to go, and let's hope it stays Dorian Gray.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, you're on board, let's stick with that, yeah, for sure.
Good. This is for you, though.
You didn't get past D, is what you're saying.
No.
You went Mandadorian.
Mandaeorian, like a sad donkey.
Gorian.
From Mandafornian, because you're fawning all over.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good, yeah. Yep.
Thank you. What about this? This is from Mercedes Anastasia. This is to you in particular.
Oh, that's a heck of a name, first of all.
No, it is. There's a possible minigun minute in episode one of Mandalorian. I want to say it is, but I'm not an expert in miniguns. Oh, he's put his glasses on. I defer to you on this. I know you've got various.
It's not a minigun.
No.
It's a mounted cannon.
And it's a laser.
Yeah.
But do you think if it wasn't mounted and it was a minigun that shot lasers, would that count? Because in Fallen Order, there are some miniguns.
Yeah, that counts.
So
it doesn't
necessarily have to shoot bullets. It can be blaster bolts.
It just has to tear some people up. Like, that is a good action sequence, I feel like, when he's spinning around on that floaty platform.
He's got a grappling hook.
Yes.
Why'd he fire the grappling hook into the rhino? What's that going to do? It's just going to drag you about for a bit.
That is a classic Indiana Jones move as well, to, like, whip something you know is going to... You end up on a speedboat, and then the speedboat is going to
get
chopped up
in
a propeller. Yeah.
Man.
DeLorean.
I'm amazed that rhino didn't smash him to bits.
Same.
He got hit a lot. Yeah. I feel like his chest should have been...
He got thrown into a lot of rocks.
Concave.
Yeah.
Because it just got on top of him a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, all credit to that Mandalorian armor.
Mm.
It's probably made of...
Beskar.
Probably made of Beskar.
At least the shoulder is.
Oh, Beskar, yeah.
Scar. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of old Imperial? He's like, the Mandalorian.
Yeah, Werner Herzog, yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah. I hope he comes back.
I think he will. Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh, my goodness.
Every now and then we'll do a video game.
Yes.
For real. Uh-huh. Last time it was Spider-Man. Before that was probably Battlefront 2.
This, Death Stranding.
No!
We're going to play the entire campaign. We're going to recreate all the cutscenes on video as a pantomime.
I would say we're not... Neither of us are far enough...
Where's humanity? It's behind you.
I would say we're probably not far enough in this to have any major spoilers.
No.
But if you want to go in fresh, probably
get... But I mean, there will be, in the sense of like, well, at one point they go to the planet Kashyyyk. I don't think that's a spoiler.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, we go to many planets.
You just do
things, yeah.
People are saying like this is like Sekiro, Dark Souls, which games I haven't played. But I felt this is very kind of God of War.
Yeah.
Not only the combat, but also it's kind of like you got your hub world and you kind of branch out to different areas.
I think most people are saying it's like Dark Souls just because it's got a parrying mechanic.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
What I like about this game is, and also hate, is that the combat is brutal. Like, you watched me play a little bit of it, and there was two separate fights.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll walk in and I'll just wreck shop. And other times it's just five guys just hitting me with stun batons till I'm dead.
I think that's because you have zero interest in strategy.
I've got strategy.
Mm, do you?
I was in a hurry because I needed to get through it so we could do this. I'm I just need to beat this.
Look, I have some controller issues.
Yeah.
So this is from Respawn Entertainment, producers of Titanfall, as we mentioned earlier. So obviously they've got to get the wall run in.
Your
character develops run very quickly. The first issue that I had with the controllers, and I think I've gotten used to it, as you know, any... There are some very standard issue controls for most games of this ilk.
Yeah.
And sometimes they tweak them and there's some time to get used to. This game, on the PS4, you have to hold L2 to climb. Or like grab onto things.
But you only have to hit it once.
You do.
Yeah.
But it's annoying.
That's pretty standard, I would say.
I don't know if it is. I feel like if I'm jumping at a wall...
It should automatically...
When am I ever jumping at a climbable wall? I don't want to climb it.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, that's not... Yeah, fair enough.
It's annoying. But anyway, I'm used to it now, so
it's fine. That's not incorrect. I don't... Mm-hmm. Maybe that is a carryover from Titanfall
2. It might be. Yeah.
But I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I love that game. But I like that the combat isn't... Like, it's... You got to think about it.
Yeah.
You can't just go in, like, Force Unleashed and spam all your Force powers. It's like, okay, I've got, like, maybe... Early on, at least, I've got three kind of force energies that I can do.
Yep,
I'll parry this guy, I'll push this one off a cliff, I'll get rid of that stormtrooper by blocking and killing him.
This feels way better than Force Unleashed, which I only played a little bit of, but because, again, you are not this unrelenting mammoth force user.
Yeah.
You're just you are Cal Kestis, he was an apprentice.
Yep.
And so you've got some skills,
but
you are not, by no means...
Very good.
Very good. You're not a Kylo Ren. You're not a.
Yeah.
You know. You're not a
Darth Vader.
Exactly.
A Yoda baby.
A Mace Windu.
Yes, that's
you
right.
You know. You've You've got some skills and you've got to use them strategically, which
you've
I
got
enjoyed.
A skill tree.
Yes.
Also. Mm-hmm. I also think he's a bit of a bloody wonky donkey of a bloke, isn't he?
What do you mean by
like
that?
Like with traversal and running and like he's just a bit of a goof, I think also. Like
in what way?
Well, the way he kind of runs like and climbs, he's a bit kind of flaily and like and
I didn't
loose.
Really notice that.
No?
No.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Mm. It's that same kind of Uncharted kind of like
okay,
frantic
yeah.
kind
yeah,
of
yeah, right. It is a bit frantic.
Energy
whoa, 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 yeah. bit of that. Yeah,
I don't think it's
it.
A bad thing. I just think that's, yeah. You mentioned there's like creatures and that you can kill. Mm-hmm. I find them infinitely less interesting than fighting other like human.
Yeah, stormtroopers and et cetera. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And like when you come up against like a stormtrooper who's got like a saber staff, mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting because like if it's a one-on-one thing, it's, you know, you both
yeah,
got
right,
that
uh-huh.
kind of ability.
Yeah, yeah.
I quite like that. Yeah.
Okay, so this game, plot-wise, this is set after the events of Revenge of the Sith?
Order 66, yes. Maybe yes. 10 years, maybe.
Okay,
know,
right.
Maybe
yeah,
less.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So our hero, Cal Kestis,
by Cameron Monaghan.
Has avoided the Order 66 death squads.
Yes.
And he's working as, a scavenger or like
a scavenging shop.
Yeah. First thing... obviously, this is a game where, you know, every game now has an integrated tutorial.
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, we'll teach you the rules, but we'll do it in a subtle way where you won't even notice. In this, he works on this, like, you know, it's like a salvage yard that takes apart, you know, giant Star Destroyers or whatever.
To make other Star Destroyers.
Star Destroyers, exactly, yeah. But it's, again, this is my first thought with any, this game and, like, any video game world or workplace is, how do people work here?
They're
you know
all
this
climbing
is a,
about.
This is a deadly workplace.
Yeah, I think it's...
Where's workplace health and safety?
But they even mentioned it's like... There's not. Yeah. It's the Empire. They yeah, don't right. care. Uh-huh. They probably lose 100 people a day just falling off beams. They don't give a shit.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's also a good way to uncover Hidden Jedi, I guess.
100%
because they're like, hey, could you just make it to the top of that really tall gantry? Sure thing,
no
I'll just leap and jump
all.
And
yeah.
I'll...
Do a flip and whatever.
Do a flip and slide down a slidey slide.
I love a slidey slide in
it's
this. Except for that one slidey slide, which was too narrow and curvy.
Yeah.
I kept dying on it.
Yeah.
You weren't too... I mean, you know you're in a tutorial. I'm like, okay, this is a tutorial.
But for sure,
I appreciate that more than like an extended cutscene. And then it's like you get to a bit and it's like, press A to jump and you've congratulations.
Yeah, right.
Now go to the next bit and press B to whatever.
So this game has a combination of subtle kind of just go around the level and see what you can do.
Yeah.
And also we see some flashbacks to his life as an apprentice where he learns some new skills.
Yes.
So this character starts out... with a very minimal skill set, and then because his connection to the Force has been interrupted,
severed, whatever,
damaged, something like that, and so
I think he's just got PTSD.
Yeah,
I think
and throughout the game, you sort of relearn all the essential Force skills, like pushing and pulling and jumping.
I think that totally works as well.
I think
it's
it works
like
too,
instead of like giving you everything up front.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Because often games.
Yeah.
Especially it's more in sequels where like you just don't start with everything and it's like, well, why am I depowered? I did all this. Well,
exactly.
Whatever.
Especially a lot of games that start with you like super, super overpowered
yeah.
and then you lose all your skills, after the first level.
God of War 2.
Yeah.
Other games probably.
Prototype.
Probably the next Spider-Man game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Which I like a lot.
Now, did this game initially feel like Star Wars to you, like straight away? It feel like, did it have a Star Wars vibe?
Yeah, I mean, but like a different kind of Star Wars. Like I feel like it's a story that we... Even though it's in a time period that I'm sick of.
Yes.
It's a story and a set of characters which I have interest in.
Yeah.
Which I'm only just uncovering. And I think there's enough connections to the other stuff where it's not too heavy-handed.
Yeah.
At least at first. No spoilers. I'm sure there's big stuff coming.
Side note. Have you noticed that neither The Mandalorian nor this opened with the Star Wars opening?
Yes.
Like the John Williams.
They're giving it away.
Why is that?
They give it away now.
Are you saying it's just start with a Red Hot Chili
yes.
episode?
I don't know. I guess maybe they're moving away from that.
Is that because, do they feel, I wonder if they feel like that devalues the movies, like the main.
Maybe it does, yeah.
Movies,
well, but also like Rogue One didn't have it and Solo didn't have it.
Yeah.
So
but I want,
maybe
because,
it's the mainline movies only.
Because it used to be every property.
Yes.
No matter what had the opening.
The comics
the blast.
Do it.
Yeah, the comic. Yeah,
literally every comic
yeah,
is
yeah.
like, last comic it was this.
Yeah.
Now this.
Yeah, now there's no opening crawl. There's no John Williams. It's interesting.
Mm. Not a fan?
I mean, it certainly gets you in the mood for Star Wars, and
sure.
if you have that, but this works too.
I'm okay with it, to be honest.
Yeah,
so for you, was there like that disconnect between like this being a Star Wars thing?
No, I don't think so. And in fact, I think there's a lot of fun touches in the, you know, the limited amount of time that I've been playing it that were very Star Wars.
Yeah.
Again, look, without doing too much spoiling, there is one point where you infiltrate a facility, let's say, and in order to take it over, you do crack two stormtroopers' heads together. Lovely. And I'm like, that is very, I feel that's very Star Wars.
And probably wouldn't work.
Oh, 100%. Well, I mean, no, but they have very fragile helmets.
That's true.
So it amazes me that they hadn't accidentally cracked their own heads together at some point earlier in the day they and killed themselves.
Yeah, they went to go through a door and they banged heads. You can only dismember like droids or creatures. So that kind of sucks that you can't.
But that also satiated my bloodlust. And like you said, I think maybe last week, there's not a huge amount of that in the movies.
You don't see stormtroopers getting cut in half.
No, exactly. You see them hit with a lightsaber and then they fall to, you know, they die or they get cut down. It's very, you know, there's some limited limbs and heads being cut off.
Yes.
But I think it's, say, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, this, and I think maybe that's a very canny way to do it, is you go, oh, I can cut some stuff in half. That's fun. And then, but with a lot of stuff when you slash it and we get the red hot molten cuts.
And they'll like do a big dramatic spin after you hit them. And especially like if there's one standing on the edge and you just blast them off the edge. Yeah. Like that's always fun. Mm-hmm. Just to push a bunch of, especially when you go into a room and it's like, there's like the most powerful guy and you just hit him. So he flies off and then you're like, great.
Now I can mop up.
Yeah. What I really want though, I want to just go into a room and I hope this happens. No spoilers if it does, please.
That's all he wants.
Yes.
All James wants in his entire life is just to walk into a room.
Some peace and quiet.
Oh, my God.
Well, on that, though, there's way more traversal and exploration than combat in this.
There's a lot of traversal. Well, I think maybe that's what I was talking about when I said, does it feel like Star Wars? Yeah. I maybe was expecting more just a cinematic experience where you sort of bounce from one action sequence to another action sequence.
I think if this was more kind of like Nathan Drake-esque, where it's not as, like, because it's sort of open world. They're like small hub worlds, I guess.
Yeah,
Where like if you're going down a corridor and you're funneled into specific battles. And it does do that, but I think there'd be more of it like...
Something that maybe I didn't enjoy, it took me a few hours, or a couple of hours, I guess, to kind of get it, is that it was kind of difficult for me to discern what my goal was in a lot of the environments.
You'd got to use the map a lot, obviously.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But and also that you sort of bounce between different worlds, and some worlds... In order to make progress, you need a force power that maybe you don't have yet. So there's going to be some back and forth in that way.
I just look at the red on the map and I'm like, oh, I probably can
go to the red.
But it's pretty. I can't go to that, so I'll go.
Yeah, right.
But I think the way I've been playing it, at least, I'm just kind of just following the story. And it's like, you know, you need to go here. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll go here. And on the way, if I come across a temple and I get a bonus crystal or whatever, I'll do
that. That's kind of the way I've been doing it. But it also feels like, okay, well, if I don't explore this passageway, maybe I'll miss out on a force ability that would come in really handy later. And then there's walls that you need to be able to force push down.
Yes.
And oftentimes you'll go through an entire planet walking past these walls going, okay, well, if I had force push, this would be very convenient. And then when I finally got force push, I'm like, well, now I have to remember where all the walls were.
Well, here's the thing,
in the previous planet that I went to and pushed them all down.
When that happens,
yes.
If you look at your map, those are now highlighted green.
Yes.
So you know exactly where...
Well, that is true.
And if you haven't been there before.
Yeah, but also the very idea of going back.
There is no fast travel, which I think this is probably... I think I would like, if you get to the end of a mission, then you have to leg it back to your ship. And often I'm like, where is this?
I should stress that I enjoy this game a lot.
Oh, me too.
This game is super fun and it is very... It's got... You know, criticisms aside, it does feel very Star Wars. It feels great to be the Jedi Apprentice. It feels great to have a double lightsaber. You wouldn't have an experience
that
yet, James. It's on Dathomir. I think
I'm doing pretty well with one, Mason. I don't even want it.
You're busy. You're going to get just gets in your way in the corridors. The one downside is sometimes you'll be walking down a corridor and it gets stuck and you're like, oh, no.
Oh, what about that?
The biggest issue, I think, maybe in terms of that, there is no fast travel. So there is a lot of like, okay, well, my ship is over there and I'm going to get back to it.
What's the
quickest way? And a lot of the environments are, okay, well, you take a zip line down a hill
and you can't climb
the zip line back up. So you have to find another way around.
So frustrating, yeah.
And
I think it should be, if you complete your objective, you should have the option to just be like, now you're back at your ship.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, but often, though, to
be
fair...
Give BD-1 a gigantic rocket booster.
Give him a rocket booster.
And you just hang on his little legs, and he flies you back to the ship.
I also understand the mechanic, and I like that they've done it, but I also hate it when you because he throws your healing things.
Stim packs, yeah.
Yeah, that they don't work instantly. If you're in combat, you've got to kind of get away from some people.
Yeah, right.
Give it a second.
Uh-huh.
Because otherwise, if you're just being hit, it won't work.
What do you like? How do you feel about the various characters we've met so
good.
Far?
Yeah?
Yeah. I like Cameron. I think Cameron Monaghan is doing a great job.
I agree. And
he feels Star Wars-y.
He does follow me on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
I should point that out. Disclaimer. But honestly, I think he's great.
He doesn't follow me on Twitter, and I just want to say that I'm still enjoying his work.
Yeah.
And I could very easily pay him out here and on Twitter. But I'm not going to because I did enjoy his work. And I imagine it's difficult. You've got to carry the entire game.
Yeah.
You've got to feel Star Wars-y. You've got to... And he's got a very good voice for, I've got a bad feeling about this, which I feel is like the...
Not everyone sells it.
Not everyone sells it. And I feel like that is a quintessential part of Star Wars, to be like, I don't know what's going to happen now, but I bet it's not good, kind of thing.
Have a bad feeling.
Yeah, a bad feeling
about that.
And he's got to, he's got to sell all the dialogue and all the narration and all the exposition.
And because it's a video game, it's like 100 hours or whatever.
And all the efforts, which is all the little bit like when you climb a thing, you got to,
I like that he doesn't talk to himself too much, because I often find in games it's like someone being like, oh, what's going on here? Yeah. Oh, this must be the whatever. Mm-hmm. Like they kind of hide the exposition well without putting you in a cutscene all the time.
Well, that's true. And of course he does have BD1 with him.
Yeah, I think that's a good workaround. Also, you don't stop to do it.
No,
it just kind of, it just happens. And if you're speaking to your crew, you're on the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to stand. I've talked about this before, but cutscenes in video games are just two people standing opposite each other, like explaining that there's a monster in the village or whatever.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
And I'm sick of it, quite frankly.
Right.
I guess I have one more else thing to say about this, and that is I like there's little details in this which I appreciate, which is a sign, I feel, of a polished game.
Alternating ponchos.
Yes.
You can get different. I don't care. I don't want to wear a poncho in the first place.
I've got my original poncho because it's not a poncho.
Oh, the jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want a poncho.
And I guess, look, I got a version that is very much like Man with No Name, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly kind of look, and that's kind of all right, but I don't want to wear a poncho.
I want a slick... flight suity kind of situation.
Yeah, I want to.
There's probably more options.
I probably want a cape.
Oh,
a cape,
sure.
Or like a long coat.
Or like off the one. Oh, bump my mic. Off the one arm, maybe.
Yeah, that would be nice.
The one shoulder.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem like that kind of guy, but I get it, you know.
Yeah, you get it.
Maybe once I've finished the game. Remember in Monkey Island 1?
Yeah.
He was just a regular guy, and then Monkey Island 2, he got a coat because he was like a full fledged pirate.
Guybrush
Threepwood, it's not important.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that maybe at the end of the game, once he becomes a full fledged Jedi, if indeed that happens, I don't know. He gets like a cool coat.
Yes.
That would be nice.
It's a problem that I have with this, and it's not to do with the game, it's to do with PlayStation in general and just the state of video games.
Yes.
You put in the disc, I turn on my PlayStation. If I haven't turned it on in 4 minutes, it wants to...
An update,
an update.
Uh-huh.
My internet sucks, so it takes forever.
Yeah, right.
Then you got to install the game, and it's 40 gig, and that takes however long.
It took you 4 hours to get started.
It took me 4 hours, and then afterwards it wanted to... update again because for the game, right? And I probably could have ran it without it, but I tried and it didn't work, the game.
Okay, great.
It like just like buffered.
Yeah.
And then when the game actually started, it said, this game is set to HDR, which is like a TV output format.
Yeah, right.
And I've got two TVs and the Samsung one doesn't do this. That has it, so it doesn't matter. But my other TV doesn't, which is what I was playing it on. So when I started it, it would automatically switch to this picture mode and then the game wouldn't display.
I'm
like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, right.
And so I eventually had to work out the settings of how to turn that off within PlayStation. So I just missed the days, and even though games were shit then, of just putting in a disc and it just fucking works.
I feel like
that's... installing and patches and updates and DLC. It's a nightmare.
That legitimately is probably one of the reasons that I don't play as many games as I used to, because I'm like, well, it isn't just slot in and play. It's so much updating. That being said, with this one, what I did is I turned my PlayStation on before I left the house. I set it to update.
Good idea.
I went down the shops. I bought the game.
Yep.
I went to Zara. I had lunch. I came back and then it was ready.
And then you installed the game for 40 gig or whatever.
No, it was quite brisk. I don't know.
Okay. Mine was probably a bit quicker than that.
Oh, how do you feel about the puzzling in this? Because again, there's a lot
wind. Have you done the wind puzzle?
I have done the wind puzzle.
I didn't like it, but it makes sense.
Enough.
I'm just like, I kind of, it's one of those things where like, I understand this, but I don't.
Quite early on.
But that's the only one that I'm not really keen on.
Quite early on, and we say that, I'm going to say this about most of it, because we are quite early on in this game. There are two puzzles involving big metal balls in a temple that you've got to push onto various, I guess, pressure platforms so things open up and what have you. And kind of...
It's not very interesting.
It's not very interesting, and it kind of cuts into... I'd rather just exploration.
I agree.
Or just or deciphering glyphs or something.
Yeah.
Mm.
Using the Force to decipher glyphs.
That being said, there are some...
But there's also some good stuff.
There is some good stuff. Yeah. We get... I don't think it's a spoiler, but in a, there's a sort of you go to a Jedi temple and there are like Jedi Force Guardians,
yes,
which are like giant robot automatons that you shoot lasers at you and chop them up. It's
pretty
cool.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it is cool.
I didn't like those puffy gas things. Plants.
No, they were yuck.
Until I got the push.
That's I didn't like them, but that's a kind of very Star Warsy vibe. Mm. Like what horrible, disgusting alien space monsters around the corner.
Yeah.
I've definitely felt like that in this game. There's, you know, environments where I'm like, oh, this is a kind of a lush, you know, lush vegetative plains or whatever. And then I'm like, oh, but there's yucky worm monsters that are going to climb out of the
weird
ground.
Spider, isn't there?
Yeah, there was. And there was a thing called like an Ogdu Bogdu or something like that.
Is that the big frog one or whatever?
It's a big frog. It has a big sticky tongue.
Where's that on?
That's on the first planet you go to.
Oh, people said they had a problem with that. I didn't find that was a problem.
The very first time you encounter one,
yeah,
you're like, oh, this is actually quite difficult. I guess because you're not quite up to...
Yeah.
You know what it is?
Just roll.
There's a lot of rolling also. Even though it's a giant bog monster, you can still parry its attacks.
Yes.
Which I think maybe the first time you play, you're not really aware of that. You're like, well, I've just got to keep swinging and jumping and whatever.
Yeah.
As soon as you learn the parrying mechanic works against basically anything, you're golden.
You get that Ogdo
Bogdo. And I thought that was kind of like, initially that's kind of a boss character. And then slightly later in the game, you're fighting him all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is what I was going to say. I enjoy like little details where if you take down like an AT-ST, it falls to the ground, and then a dude like stumbles out of the top,
right,
and then you kill him.
Yeah, right.
That's good. It's a nice touch.
It is good. Yeah,
they didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Can we briefly talk spoilers, maybe for the?
Okay, sure.
I'm gonna say best game ever. I had a really good
time. I agree.
Saul Guerrero's in this.
Yeah. Oh, he's in the trailers.
Oh, is he? Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, well, that's fine. Is that
we've talked about it?
Have we?
It is Forrest Whitaker.
It is Forrest Whitaker. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh man, there's a good. Speaking of Titanfall, like the guys who created this know what they're doing in terms of. We get a little bit AT-AT action.
Whatever you call them,
where we're in an AT-AT and
apparently you can say either.
Okay,
so it doesn't matter.
I'm going to alternate sentence by sentence. But the fact that you kind of have to climb it Shadow of the Colossus style, and then jump in it,
and then
kill everybody, then crack their heads together.
And Saw Guerrero's like, "What are you doing?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Hey, I'm shooting these things. Do you not want me to shoot these things?
Yeah, I'm doing the thing.
Anyway, that's pretty much where I'm up to. So
I'm with you. I'm not that much. I'm kind of. It's weird because. I'm a little bit more ahead on one planet, but I haven't done another planet.
Yeah,
so
progress-wise, it's difficult to figure that out, yeah.
Anyway, do you know what it's time for?
Is it time for what we're reading?
It is time for what we're going to read also.
We're going to read.
Those things. I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today? At the risk of sounding boring, Mason, I've already kind of talked about the things that I've been doing.
Star Wars and Fallen Order
all days.
Good for you.
What about you? Anything else?
I've been rereading a novel, an actual honest to God paper novel.
Who are you and what have you done with bloody Nick, the real Nick Mason?
Nice.
Thanks.
That was good. I like the comedy of it and it also, I like the idea that the timing and maybe you don't remember my name. That's good. But I've been rereading The Big Sleep, which is the Raymond Chandler sort of, it's like the quintessential hard-boiled detective novel.
Ah, okay.
It's with Philip Marlowe, who's like a detective in Los Angeles, and he gets hired to deal with a blackmailer. You know, the rich guy hires him to deal with the blackmailer, and then all sorts of people end up murdered, and it's...
It sounds a bit like this bloody Knives Out movie, which is coming out. So
yes.
Apparently it's excellent. I'm really looking forward to that.
What's most interesting about, because it's a novel that came out in the 30s.
Mm. Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's really great. Like the prose is, or it's very good and sophisticated and fun and what have you. But the character is 33 years old. He's like this, which is I'd never, having read it before, that I guess I'd never noticed. Well, the last time I read it, I was in my teens, I guess, and I'm like, well, that's very old, isn't it? Because I think he's Humphrey Bogart in the movie adaptation.
Okay,
again, a man who's constantly, you know, eternally in his 50s.
55. He's still 55.
He's still 55 to this day. Mm. But I'm like, what a youngin.
Yeah,
to be,
I know, right?
To be such a hard-boiled detective.
Unsafe.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him getting out there and giving it a go.
People now kind of cling to the stuff. or kind of retain more youthfulness than they
used to. Well, for sure. Yeah.
And maybe that's just this particular generation. But I feel like this generation is like, I'm just not giving up like video games and things that I like and
whatever.
You know? Not just for video games, you know what I mean? But maybe that's not true.
Well, I think Philip Marlowe would give up all kinds of video games because they didn't exist when he was alive. Also, he's not real.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's got a lot not going for him then, doesn't
Absolutely.
He?
Absolutely. Well, he's an alcoholic, so that'll do it.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I like about him.
Anyway, that's what I've been reading. Right, for real, I've actually been reading a thing.
Yeah, that's good. That sounds actually genuinely interesting.
Yeah. Well,
should we then do the next segment of the show?
Yes, I think so.
I agree.
I'll do a theme.
I'll listen.
Classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
I'm going to hear right now, we're going to do letters.
Have you, I was just bringing up my comics and I've got something here that I bought but I haven't read yet, and that's Black Hammer Justice League. Have you read that yet?
No, I haven't.
I mean, I bought it, so I will.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, I've been rereading some Black Hammer recently. Oh, actually, I've been reading some Black Hammer recently because I was never caught up.
Did you do Dr. Star yet?
No.
Yeah,
but I'm excited for that.
I think that's my favorite thing.
Okay, great.
Okay, if you want to reach the show, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter or shoot a Gmail over to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Here's one.
I'm ready.
From Daniel Parker.
Hello, Daniel Parker.
Thoughts on Jedi Fallen Order.
I liked it.
Now, according to Daniel, he says, look, it's the best Star Wars game since Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Academy. Do you feel that way? As good? Better? I mean, it's more...
Technically, definitely, but I really like that game.
Yeah. But as a father with limited time to spend on video games, I didn't like the level design. It's not strictly linear and on rails like Uncharted or The Last of Us, but it's not open world, go anywhere at any time either.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah. I think that's
I wouldn't disagree with
that. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not a big kind of exploration. You know, in the Tomb Raider games, when it's like you found a tomb and you got to go. I'm like, I don't want to do this.
Just give me two guns and make me fight a dinosaur.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about any of that. I don't feel bogged down in that in this as much though.
No, I mean it might great after.
Sure.
How long is the campaign supposed to be? Do you know?
20 or 30 hours.
Okay, that's not so bad.
I don't know, it depends on what.
He says, I've spent far too much time circling around doing the same bit as I missed opening up a shortcut when I inevitably have to go back somewhere. I agree with that. But again,
I think that's an absolutely valid criticism.
He says here, the last thing I'll say from this one. At one point I slid down a mudslide to my doom about 50 times as the game wouldn't let me time my double jump properly. We've also done that, I think.
Is there a double jump?
You can get a double jump.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, because I don't have a double jump.
Okay, right, but also, there's one point where you're going down an ice slide.
Yeah.
I think we both experienced it like we're
just going off the edge.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Constantly. Uh-huh. I'm like, what am I doing wrong here?
Yeah.
Anyways, I also have a tweet. Valid, Mason.
Valid,
this is from
valid
Jeremy message, says, with all the stories going around about DC properties being rebooted, do you think it's possible that something will happen in Wonder Woman 84 that resets the timeline? Could explain the delay in the reshoots? I think DC are on the path of like, doesn't matter. We're just going to do everything is separate and ish and
I don't think they'll do I don't think they'll do an in storyline reboot. I don't think there'll be some sort of time travel incident and they'll be like, but everything's been changed. I think what they might do is what Marvel used to do for many years for a lot of their comic books is you just tell the story in the 80s and you just tweak anything.
Yeah.
Within that storyline. So if you want characters to have different origins or whatever, you just show that.
Yes.
Within that storyline, and then it's just assumed going forward. We the viewers go, okay, well that's how things are now.
That's the new thing. Yeah. So I think I think it's somewhere, but they're doing somewhere between like the MCU and the X-Men where they don't give a shit at all about the continuity.
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. This one's from Denton Oler.
Hello, Denton.
Hey, James and Mason.
Hi.
The subject line's very compelling for me because it says Looper, Mason's favourite movie.
Oh, my goodness. That's not your favourite movie.
It's not, though. I don't like it. With Knives Out releasing soon, I was wondering if we could get an episode on Rian Johnson's previous works. I love Brick and Looper and really want to hear your thoughts.
I like Brick and Looper. I could talk about Brick
and Looper. I like Brick a lot. That's a good movie. I like The Brothers Bloom. We should do it.
I haven't done Brothers Bloom.
It's a good one, I think.
I should watch that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And look, I'll watch Looper again just to see if I dislike it as much now.
You probably will.
That's true.
I really didn't like that one.
Yeah, I remember being very, very stylish though. So maybe
I agree.
And you know,
I like all
that,
of his movies.
I like
so.
That Jogo Lev. So
JGL.
Yeah, JGL.
JGL.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Great. Well, I have a tweet here. This is from Jason. It says, "Nicolas Cage is Nicolas Cage in a movie about Nicolas Cage. Great idea or greatest idea?
I've heard about this.
Do you want me to read you the synopsis?
Tell me about it. Yeah.
It's called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. So this is where it, This is where we're at. I think it's Hollywood Reporter. Cage, if deals close, will star as Nicolas Cage, actor Nicolas Cage.
Uh-huh.
The character is desperate to get a role in a new Tarantino movie while also dealing with a strained relationship with his teenage daughter. He also occasionally talks to an egotistical 1990s version of himself who rides him for making too many crappy movies and not being a star anymore. Bit harsh. Mm, they're going to de-age him? De-cage him.
They're going to, oh my God, they're going to de-cage him.
The Cage character is also under a mountain of debt and, yeah, and finds himself
yeah, the Cage character certainly is. Yeah.
Finds himself forced to make an appearance at a birthday party of a Mexican billionaire who happens to be a fan of Cage's work and secretly hopes to show him a script of which he's been working. While he bonds with the man, Cage is informed by the CIA that the billionaire is actually a drug cartel kingpin who is kidnapped the daughter of a Mexican presidential nominee and is recruited by the U.S. government to get intelligence. The situation spirals even more dramatically when the Mexican brings over Cage's daughter and ex-wife for a reconciliation, and when their lives are on the line, Cage takes on the role
of a lifetime.
Of a life Cage.
You did a twist at the end there.
Thanks.
It seems like a combination of, remember, JCVD and a little bit of Taken there.
I was going to say,
is this real or is this?
I think it's real.
Okay.
And the interview?
Yeah, for sure.
This
feels like a movie that could very easily disappear up its own ass, but he was great in Adaptation. He's a good actor.
He's a great actor.
And even when he's not a good actor, he's chewing some scenery like no one's business. And again, it's not my money. So if people want to make this, I would love to see this.
We could give a shit.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It could be great.
I'm very interested in what 90s version of Nicolas Cage shows up. Oh, when he's Con Air Nick Cage. I want that.
Maybe it alternates.
Oh, that would be terrific.
Maybe very like one day it's the guy, the face off with the lizard skin shirt or whatever.
One
day it's Snake Eyes.
One day it's Caster Troy.
One day it's
in a freestyle fit or whatever.
Maybe one day it's his two characters from Adaptation.
Maybe one day it's John Travolta.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, it's who we played They switched in.
No, I know how Face Off.
Face Off.
Yeah, I know. I've seen the movie Face Off.
Makes sense.
It does make sense. That is true. I would like to see that. So,
what if the past version of Cage was played by John Travolta, just in general? And no one says anything.
That'd be great.
Would it?
No.
I don't think it would be. I don't think it's a good idea. As I was saying, and I'm like, this isn't worth saying. Anyway, is that the show?
Maybe. Here's actually one more right. Email from Kyle Rudd.
Hi, Kyle.
It says, horror movie commentary.
He
says, hi, I just wanted to say you saved me after a bad breakup and taught me how to laugh again. Probably because we told him about some other funny things to watch or listen to. Wouldn't have anything to
do
with
that. That's good to hear.
It was great hearing some fellows my age talk about things I love in such a funny way. He hasn't provided his age, but I assume it's 21 to 25.
Or possibly
a different age. I also love your movie commentaries and wondering if you do a horror movie sometimes. I nominate Halloween 2018.
Oh, yeah?
Just so I can hear your thoughts on Jamie Lee Curtis's hair. That's why.
Oh, it's not her best hair.
No.
I like her real life hair.
We could do that. I would like to do maybe a Saw movie if there's another Saw coming up.
A Saw Gerrera movie. Well, Rogue One, obviously.
Yeah, let's do Rogue One. But I would do it. Maybe we could go in fresh with a horror movie or a franchise we don't know anything about.
Have we ever done a commentary of a movie we haven't seen?
No.
Maybe we should do that.
We could though, couldn't we?
He's taking his glasses on and off. I don't know what that means, though. I don't know whether he's being more serious or less serious.
That's how I get you.
Good point.
Yeah.
Do you want to bring the show home?
Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to the podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
If you would like to, thank you for telling a friend. Thank you for subscribing.
Telling a friend makes a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And then you've got something to talk about.
Definitely.
I was going to say on the playground or the office.
Or anywhere in between.
Anywhere in between. Like maybe on the footpath, between a playground
you're
and an office.
You're running to your playground during your lunch break.
That's right. You're trying to reconnect with your childhood. Or you're a child who works in an office.
Mm.
One of those.
That's right.
Any of those things.
Or a man who works in a playground.
Man who works in a playground. That's your
and
job.
And takes his lunch in an office.
In an office, because that's where your friends are. Anyway, wherever you are on that particular spectrum,
yeah.
The two genders being the playground or the office. We love it when you tell a friend, and it's very, very
we really
great.
Do.
And giving us a nice review.
I have one
Do you have one right there?
It's from Board Peon. It says, hope it sticks, and it's 5 stars. This is interesting. I didn't know this was the case, but he says, I gave this podcast, or she, 5 stars months ago. Just happened to look today, and the stars weren't there.
Oh, my goodness.
So I don't know whether that's a thing. So if people could double check if they're reviewing, that would be great. It's a super intelligent AI Is a super intelligent AI conspiring against these funny boys trying to stop them from reaching 5-star podcast fame? I plan to fight back. I'll keep giving them 5 stars again and again until it sticks. Viva la revolution.
Thank you.
Please.
It's a real Mr. Robot situation.
It is. Makes a huge difference as well. Yeah. So reviews are great.
Thank you, everybody who's been donating to our charity campaign.
Yes.
As of this very instant, what? We are up to, of the $50,000 goal, we are up to $62,533.
Excellent.
Which is $125,066.
He's already worked it out. He's just pretending he was doing it in his head.
No, I did it in my head. I did it in my head.
He doesn't have his glasses on, so it can't be real.
It's true. Thank you, everybody. There's 4 days left. When this comes out, there'll be 3 days left, yeah. I guess. So if you want to make a donation, we will gladly accept that. Definitely. To help save the planet in some small way. And
somebody had to do it.
That's right. And
I mean, those Team Trees guys are doing a good job as well.
They're doing pretty good as well, aren't they? And after that, obviously, we're going to do all our bonus content. We're going to answer all the questions, of which there were probably many, many more than there were last year. So definitely. I'm excited for that. We'll make a day of it. It's going to be great.
A day, huh?
Yep. That's right, a whole day. Maybe even a day and a half. We might have to stop for lunch and dinner.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm so excited for it.
I bet you
are. Just to hang out, you and me.
I don't like that.
Being a couple of bros answering questions.
Can we get Red Rooster?
Having fun and laughs, of course we can get Red Rooster.
But yeah, I'll do it.
Okay, I'm gonna pick dinner, though.
Red Rooster.
Yeah, it's going to be Red Rooster again. If you want to get in contact with us in other ways, you can go to Weekly Planet Pod at Facebook, at Gmail, at Twitter, at Bandcamp, on Twitter, I am Wikipedia Brown. On Instagram, I'm Nick Maso, NickMaseau. You are Mr. Sunday Movies.
All platforms, all time.
Everywhere. You can also go to planetbroadcasting.com. Sign up to our great newsletter from the great Rob Collings.
One of the best.
He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. You can also
give him a kiss. Yeah, send him a virtual kiss.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, send him some lippy emojis.
Yes.
He'd love it. you can also go to planetbroadcasting.com to see all the other podcasts on the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Yeah,
you go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group if you want to have a funny, civil discussion about pop culture and all the podcasts. If you want to support the
show. All the minutiae.
Thank you. If you want to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies if you would like to chuck in a buck. That would be incredible. You can click on the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description if you want to buy some stuff on Amazon.
Yeah, .Amazon.
Like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the deluxe edition for no reason like I did.
Mandalorian t-shirt.
Or a Mandalorian t-shirt.
You got a little making of on there somewhere.
I wanted the behind the scenes stuff.
You got a making of there somewhere. Yeah. Side note, it's JB, it's $70. EB Games, $100.
Yeah, it's always
same thing.
The way.
Madness. Anyway, we've got some t-shirts on tpublic.com.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk, and thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes.
And me for the milkshake theme.
You've done it again. That's the whole show, I reckon.
I reckon it is.
Yes. Next week, who knows?
I don't know.
You might know.
No, I don't.
Okay, then. Great.
What is next week? I don't know. We're not doing Charlie's Angels, I guess. Is it even out here?
Also, we didn't get around to Dr. Sleep. I know I didn't. Did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't have time.
Maybe we'll do it next week.
Yeah. I would love to. Mm. I really like that director. I like all of his movies, and apparently it's good. And
apparently
nobody's
seeing it. Yeah, exactly.
Which is an absolute shame.
Right?
But turns out that a cult movie that didn't do well in the 80s, which then got a, you know,
yeah,
that then did better over time.
But it did really well, right?
Yeah, but
comparatively,
it's bigger. It's Shining's weird, though.
Well, that's the thing. I think
it's
maybe
too weird.
Look, the show's over. But all I'm saying is that I think maybe it's because The Shining was Kubrick, and it's got this sheen of being an arty movie, like art house indie. Not really, but you know, it's kind of like it's very cerebral when it actually just wants scares.
Yes,
like it's very easy to boil down it and just be like, well, it's a killer clown.
What do you want?
The Shining, it's like, well, there's horror house and there's a guy with psychic powers and whatever. It's too much.
And it's a killer clown.
And it's a look at that pattern on the hotel room floor.
Yeah, what does it mean?
Anyway. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, me
so
too.
So maybe we'll get to it.
Hope so.
All right.
All right, thanks, guys. See you next week.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you soon.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I love podcasts.
I love podcasts too. They're
both
good, aren't they?
Both of us love podcasts.
Oh my God, they're so good. Listening to them, doing them.
Mm, that's it though.
Nothing else.
No.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.